Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Appellate Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
I would call it that, yeah.
Would you?
We have this letter from David. I won't use any last names.
Unless you have to.
Unless I have to. He says, my wife just got off the phone with you, actually this was a few weeks ago, concerning whether or not you should park a car with the tires pointed straight ahead. Remember her?
No, not at all.
She said, my husband told me that when I park the car, I should always make sure the wheels are pointing straight ahead because if you leave them turned to the left or to the right, it will wear out something. And we told her that her husband was wacko.
Oh, yeah.
This is her husband.
Oh, really? Okay.
So my wife just got off the phone with you concerning whether or not you should park a car with the tires pointed straight ahead. Being a newlywed and having eaten more than my fair share of words in the mere 9 months that I've been married, I was hoping you could have cut me a little slack. Isn't there the slightest chance that over time, parenthesis, like 100 years, that you would need to repair some part of the car sooner? As a longtime listener, I know you understand how important it is for us men to have at least one topic that we can be right about. Please don't take that away.
Oh.
Sincerely, a cry for help from David Blake.
No.
I let his last name slip out there, David Blake. And his wife's name is Leslie Blake, I guess.
Oh, Dave, I mean, I hate to break it to you.
I mean,
but
we always bend over, don't we, to help out a man in distress.
A fellow man.
A fellow man, because we know that we're in such trouble overall.
Exactly.
But this one was hopeless.
Yeah.
I mean, David, if there were any way that we could have cut you slack, we would have done it, I think.
Yeah, and I think David should pursue some other field of endeavor here.
Yeah, but he is right. He says he needs one area of expertise.
This ain't it.
Oh, we got to shoot for, ask him to go on to
go
something
on to, like,
else.
Art.
Art history.
Maybe house painting.
House painting?
Yeah.
But mechanics in general probably is not it.
I know, but that's always a big territory to surrender if you're a guy. How things work.
Oh, I did that.
Oh, yeah, we noticed. That's why your wife was up on the roof the other day putting shields on.
I know how to climb the ladder, hon, but I don't know how to get back down again.
That'll do it.
She says, well, that's perfect.
Jeez. Well, we're sorry, David, but if you'd like to appeal to us for car advice, our number is, as always, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Fane from Naugatuck, Connecticut.
Fane?
Yes.
Fane.
F-A-I-N?
F-A-Y-N-E, but it's pronounced like Jane with an F.
Fane.
No kidding. From Naugatuck?
Yes.
That's where Naugahyde was made, you know.
That's where the rubber was invented.
Nauga.
That's right.
That's right.
Fane. Forget about Nauga and rubber. Where did Fane come from?
Jane.
It's an old Gaelic name. My mother's maiden name was O'Brien. And our last name is Erickson, so she wanted to make sure that we all remembered we were part
Your
Irish.
Your heritage, of course.
Ah, so
right.
She...
And I've continued it with my kids, who I've named Ryan and Rory.
Very good.
Not Fion and Forey? Cool.
So
Fane.
Yes.
Fill us in on the details. What's going on? What do you need to know?
Okay, I have a 1994 Subaru Impreza.
Yeah.
That I think is possessed. Because sometimes when you put the key in and you turn it, it will not turn. Otherwise...
Oh, the key won't actually turn.
The key doesn't actually turn, but then sometimes you put it in and it turns extremely easily and I can't figure out the difference. I've had it that I couldn't start the car, my husband couldn't start the car, and then my daughter is playing in the driver's seat, she turns it and it starts.
And of course you let her drive, right?
She's only 4 years old.
Yeah. She's 8. We don't let her drive yet.
Yeah.
Next year. At first I thought it was maybe something with the key because I sometimes kind of use the keys for other things,
yeah,
like opening mail.
You're opening cans and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I got a new key. That didn't help. I used the alternate key the dealer gave me. That didn't help.
And how, if you needed to get it started, what would you do?
You just keep trying, and then sometimes it'll eventually just turn, but it's not even hard to turn it.
Do you do anything with the
steering wheel?
There you go.
I tried that a couple of times. I thought maybe it was locked or something, so I tried to adjust the steering wheel, but that seemed to have had no impact on it.
Really?
Well, adjusting it wouldn't do it. What might do it is moving the wheel as much as you can, which isn't very much, left to right, while trying to turn the key. I have to think that it's the steering wheel lock that's doing it.
Right.
So next time you try it, turn the key, try to turn the key. If it doesn't turn, just take the steering wheel and jiggle it back and forth a little bit, left to right.
While you're trying to turn the key.
While you're trying to turn the key.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, then you need a new ignition switch.
You have to get two planes of motion. You need the jiggling left to right in the wheel and the turning of the key.
Yeah, you might
so
not be
like
able to do
it. It's
like rubbing your stomach and patting your head.
Okay.
So you might have trouble doing this. But what you could do, if this worked, the way most cars do it, I don't know exactly how Subaru does it, but I think they do it with a little peg that pops out when the key is in the lock position. And it locks out and it locks the column. And it may be a simple matter of having somebody grease that thing.
Okay, and it doesn't have, my husband thinks it might have something to do with the fact we have 117,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Well, it might.
The truth is the lock could be worn out too.
Yeah. If it doesn't, if jiggling the steering wheel doesn't help, then the lock is what needs to be.
You know,
replaced.
There are two pieces to when you stick the key in, there's a switch, but the part that the key goes into is the lock. And the lock is what keeps the switch from being turned by unauthorized users.
That's why we have keys.
That's why we have keys, and the key goes into the lock, so the lock may be bad. You could try spraying some lubricant into the place where the key goes.
Yeah, go to the hardware store, and they sell lock lubricant.
Lock lubricant,
yeah.
Okay.
That stuff works amazingly well.
Okay.
I guarantee you that that's going to fix it, and if it doesn't fix it, I will come to Naugatuck, and I will lubricate the steering wheel lock for you myself.
I'm going to do this.
I'll take my wheel puller with me.
Good call. Please get him away from me. See you, Fane.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I'm from Austin, Texas.
Austin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Nice town, Austin, huh?
It's a great town. It's pretty hot right now.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't know what hot is.
My question is, how did Austin get to be in Texas? I mean, it's unlike any other Texas city.
Very different.
Very different. It's sort of plunked in there. I think Austin was once someplace else. And they
moved the entire
city.
What's going on, Thomas?
Well, here's the deal. I have a Ford truck. It's the first vehicle I've ever had with fuel injection.
F-150?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great car. Real pleased with it. Anyway, I go get my oil changed the other day and leave the key in and go in the little waiting room. And I haven't any more sat down, and the guy comes walking in and said, well, I checked your fuel, and it's starting to get kind of gooey, and that happens about 25,000 miles, and that's about how many miles you have on this truck. And we happen to have this system that we do this cleaning of the fuel injection system. It's normally $49.95, but you're in luck because this week it's on sale for $39.95.
Oh, how lucky can you get?
Really?
So what do they do? Like, they take your fuel out and they put it on hangers and send it to your machine? You know, it's like having your suit done?
Well, the way he explained it, it sounded like it was a pressurized thing that they put on the car, and it only takes 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it will increase your gas mileage by 3 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
So my question is, was this guy blowing smoke, or will my truck be blowing smoke if I don't do something about fuel injection to keep it clean?
Well, so you didn't just go for it,
I did not fall for it.
Even though it was $10 off, huh?
Well, he was so nice, he offered to hold the deal. He said, it won't be on sale next time you come in, but I'm going to put a notation on your invoice that says you can still get it for the sale price when you come back, because this is so important for you to get it done.
I would go right back. I mean, you still have it. You saved the slip, didn't you?
Well, let me hang up and run down there right now, down the street.
Man, I mean, you have to give the guy some kind of credit for at least having taken that course.
Yeah, and your truck doesn't need this.
I agree.
Your fuel is not gummy. If the truck were running poorly, you might want to have this treatment done to it or some similar treatment. We have a machine at our shop made by Snap-on, which is called the Motor Vac.
Mm-hmm.
And it does what
Is there a special on that this week?
Let me drive to Boston.
Well, yeah,
right
we do. We do have a special, but I'm afraid it's a heck of a lot more than $39.95.
Does it attach directly to your pocket in the back?
Yes. Well, it has the wallet vac adapter. So we hook the motor vac up to your fuel injector rail, and the wallet vac is a very simple device with grabbers that goes right for your wallet.
I can feel
it. And it works on either pocket.
Well, I mean, the truth is that these things do work, but he was trying to sell it to you even though you didn't need it.
Well, he was trying to sell it to you as a preventive measure.
Yes.
And I would...
Well...
And it could be argued that if you did this...
It was preventing his poverty.
No. And if the thing is as good... I don't know what this thing is. You were probably at some place like Jiffy Lube or something,
right? A
place
like that, yes.
Right. And I don't know how good their machine is. I mean, I've seen our machine work absolute miracles on cars that were stumbling and hesitating and getting poor mileage and poor emissions, and you hook this machine up, and it's like somebody threw a switch. It's night and day.
Are magnets involved?
No. Magnets are not involved.
They aren't.
No.
Is there any value...
Radioactive isotopes.
Is there any value to the additives that they sell at the service station that you just pour in?
Well, see, my philosophy is you don't need any of this stuff unless something's wrong.
Okay.
But all of these things can help, and that's why they're able to sell them, because they're relatively inexpensive, and people are always looking for the slight edge.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for that, you know, that $10 product that might get them an extra mile per gallon or might get them an extra 10,000 miles out of the vehicle. And if it costs you $10, I mean, what's $10?
Right.
Now we're talking $39.95. No, I mean, you can either take this preventive approach or you can say, I'll wait until something goes wrong and then I'll do it. And I think in this case, the prudent man would say, I'll wait till something goes wrong.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
And the truth is that modern gasolines have the right additives in them to keep the injectors clean, and it's nowhere near the problem that it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm.
So they've really figured out, unfortunately, these additives are probably going to kill us. But that's another story for another day. But thanks for your call,
well,
Thomas.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
You did the right thing, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joan of Alexandria.
Joan, like Joan of Arc.
Right, Alexandria.
Similar. Very similar.
Alexandria, oh. VA?
Right.
What's up, Joan of Alexandria?
Well, we have a 68 Valiant that we bought from a little old lady down the street.
Wow.
Has 63,000 miles on it.
Cool.
And our daughter thinks it's her car and loves it. And she has this secret that she says there's no way that I should be driving that car because I don't know how to start it when it stalls. And what she does, and this as a mother, this really worries me. Hmm. Because when it stalls, she gets out of the car, raises the hood, and she sticks a stick in the choke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then she gets... You say, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a standard operating procedure.
Well, not only is it standard operating procedure, my brother is quite adept at this because he has pretty much the same car.
Yeah.
But he's not a blonde standing out on the highway with the hood up. And.
Oh, but I'm pretty close.
I saw you guys on TV recently.
Oh, so you know, huh? Oops. Our secret's out.
Secret is out.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm the mother.
So you're concerned that she's out somewhere on the highway,
right,
and she opens the hood and crawls out and
that passersby are going to stop to help her and something bad
right.
will happen.
And they may help themselves to her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I just think there ought to be some way to fix that. And I figured you guys would know the magic.
Well, we might. What does it do? She's driving along and bingo, it just stops running?
No, it mostly
right,
stalls when the engine is cold. Or when it's damp out.
When it's damp. Hot
yeah.
or cold, but when it's damp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah. And what's wrong is that the choke is either set too tight, or the choke pull-off isn't working, or it has bad spark plug wires, or all three are wrong with it.
Choke pull-off.
You're not right. Writing this down, are you?
Yes.
Oh, no, don't write it down. We're going to be held responsible if you write it down.
Choke pull-off.
Uh-huh.
Choke misadjusted.
I.e. too rich. It could have bad spark plug wires.
We just had those redone.
Did you have the points replaced?
Possibly, but I'll check.
It could have weak spark. It may need new points and condenser.
She ought to go and fix what's wrong with it, but she also ought to adapt her driving style
uh-huh.
so that when she sees it, it has a temperature gauge.
Right.
And when she sees that it's somewhere between zero and warm, that it's going to be very sensitive, and you can't just step on the gas.
You can't
have
just
to, as they say, feather it.
Right. Okay. And,
which reminds me that another thing that might be wrong with it is it might need an accelerator pump in the carburetor.
Oh, you're talking money.
We're not talking money. Everything we've discussed doesn't cost $20. Nothing more than $20.
If you put it in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is easy to do.
But
uh-huh.
even if you don't put
even
it
if
in
you
yourself.
Don't, it's under $100.
Right. What the most difficult thing is finding a mechanic that has no teeth that'll know how to install this stuff. Because
right.
anyone with teeth is too young.
Okay.
Like Gabby Hayes.
Yeah. If someone comes out and says, "Can I help you, ma'am?" You got no, you can't. But if you, "Can I help you, ma'am?" Yes, you can.
That's the guy for you. He'll be right at home with this okay. car, and he'll know everything that's wrong.
So
with
you
it.
Got all that stuff. Adjust the choke. Check the choke pull off.
Uh-huh.
Spark plug wires, you said you had.
Right.
Points and condenser.
Points
check
and
that.
Condenser.
And timing.
All the tune-up stuff.
And maybe an accelerator pump.
And the accelerator pump.
But if you fix any one of them, it'll probably improve the performance enough to make the car drivable.
Well, good luck with the 68 Valiant, and you're right to be concerned about your daughter.
Thank you very much.
And if you can't fix this, just make sure that you give her a bigger stick.
Okay.
Yeah. See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look. It's time for us to take a short break.
Right. I can see the gauge on your forehead. It's reading hot. So it must be time to add some coolant to you.
We'll be back in a minute.
I traveled over this country wide seeking fortune fair. I've been down to coastlines, traveled everywhere. From Portland East to Portland West and back along the line. I'm going down to the place that's best, the old hometown of mine. 8 more miles, Louis Bellwell coming to you. 8 more miles.
And even though Miley Cyrus says, "Now that's really in bad taste," whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, "Listen to the show." Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and lazy puzzlers.
Really?
Yeah. While we sit here and work our tonsils to the bone, the puzzler is spending the entire summer goofing off. Can you believe that?
Oh, I thought the puzzler was gone all summer because you were goofing off.
Oh, sure. Expose me for the lazy yutz that I am. I thought you had my back, man.
No.
Guess not. Well, anyway, the puzzler is off for a little bit longer, and whenever the puzzler is off, we always provide a classic puzzler for you on the website. So check it out there.
I will, yeah.
You will That's not. Good. You will not.
No, I won't.
Anyway, if you have a question for us about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is your second biggest fan in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Really?
Second biggest?
Second biggest. My son is your first biggest.
Really?
Oh, yeah? What's your name?
Dina.
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 D-E-E-N-A?
Perfect. Yeah, you got that
Dina.
Right.
And what's your son's name?
Gili. G-I-L-I.
And how old is he?
He's 8, and he's here, and he wants to talk to you, too.
Okay. We'll talk to everybody.
But first, we have to
conduct business.
Okay.
We have a beautiful sky blue 1987 Chevy Nova, which is in mint condition,
yeah.
And we all love this car. Our problem is that our car has a crisis of confidence.
Ah.
Twice in the last 2 months, we have been hit by trucks.
Oh, my brother is can comment on this with some authority, I believe.
Yes, yeah. I can. I've been hit by trucks.
It's not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
And both times the accident was virtually the same thing. A truck stopped and backed into me, and all I saw was these backup lights coming at me, and I lean on the horn, but our horn is like, meh. And who's going to hear it, and who's going to listen to it anyway?
You have a wimpy little horn.
Wimpy horn. Oh, my son said this is his part.
Okay.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, Gili, what happened?
Hello, I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, your mother told us. How are you?
My name is Gili. I'm fine.
Good.
Okay, here are the car imitations. I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
This is what our car sounds like now. Beep, me, me, me.
Wimpy, wimpy.
Sounds wimpy to me.
Wimpy.
Yeah.
I think it's saying, could you please move out of my way? If you have to hit me, it's all right with me. But we want a horn that says, get out of my face! You didn't think about it!
So what we want to know is,
yeah, okay.
Can a little tiny, adorable little sky blue Chevy Nova have a truck horn put in it? So that if, God forbid, anybody tries to hit us again, we can lean on this, babe, and send the message out that we will not be intimidated.
Well,
you bet.
Yeah,
you bet.
You wouldn't want one of those horns that you see in 18-wheelers.
No, why not?
Oh, because, you'd lose control of bodily functions if you were to sound that thing.
But we know what we were doing. We want the guy
in wouldn't
the
truck make, It wouldn't make any difference, but there are plenty of horns.
No, but there is something to be said for making the truck think that there's a truck behind it.
Exactly.
Well,
our point.
It may not be illegal, although it may be. There may be some restrictions about this. But I don't think you want to.
This is Maryland. No restrictions.
No, we were thinking of Montana.
Oh, that's Montana, another M state.
But you wouldn't necessarily want a horn that is completely out of character with the vehicle.
I don't see why not. I mean, these trucks just.
Well, it's like anything else. If everyone had them, the reason those diesel trucks have those horns is.
What is the reason? What is the reason?
To scare the hell out of it.
But right, well, Jesus out of people.
To allow you to differentiate between that and a wimpy little sky blue Nova.
Exactly. Exactly the point.
The problem is your horn is because if Geely's rendition of the horn sound is correct, then what's wrong is that your horn is broken.
Oh.
That is not the original sound of the horn. In fact, this vehicle had two horns, one of which stopped working about 5 years ago, and the other one is about to stop working soon.
Oh.
And if you were to replace both of those horns, you would be shocked at how loud they are.
Really?
It may not be enough.
It is enough. It's enough for everyone else.
If
how many
the big trucks can have that air horn, why can't the rest of us? Because there's no valid reason except testosterone poisoning.
No.
Those big, muscular, tattooed morons that drive those trucks want to be able to go, nah!
Well,
there's
one of those,
no good reason for
well,
that.
One of those guys is crawling up your backside and has lost his brakes.
Baloney.
Wouldn't you thank your lucky stars that he had that horn and maybe even two of them?
Because you couldn't hear a regular horn? No.
Not over the roar of the engine behind you.
No, it's for his own benefit.
No. Nick, as usual,
if he had a regular horn, you'd hear it because you're not hearing the roar of his engine.
No,
he is.
My brother has been afflicted. I don't know what his basic problem is, but he has been afflicted lately with rant and ravism.
I haven't.
And I don't know if there's a cure for rant and ravism.
I haven't ranted and raved for months.
But what you need is a regular horn that works. And if you had the two horns that the vehicle was designed to have, in working order, it would be if and when you replace these, which I'm sure you will, Dina.
Yes.
You will find out that they make more than enough noise to alert anyone.
But if you feel like it, there's nothing that says you can't put a louder horn or a pair of horns in there.
Well, why would you want someone to think that you're a diesel truck when you're not? When somebody might do something stupid upon hearing your horn.
Well,
think of other people.
I have always contended that the horn was a barbaric means of communication.
Yes, that's why my brother uses digits on one hand to communicate all the essentials to other drivers.
Exactly right.
And he's fond of using one digit in particular.
I think that your son actually has part of the answer, that you should have two horns. One, which is a more genteel. I like the words he used. Oh, you're going to hit me, but it's really okay. I don't mind. It would be nice to have that kind of a horn for many situations, and then the other kind of horn for true emergencies.
Oh, sure. It's bad enough that we got 400 buttons on the radio. Now you want two different horns?
What else are
we going to have?
I've already designed this. It's very simple.
A city horn?
A city horn and a wacko horn.
And a country horn.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just get the horns fixed, Dina. Don't listen to him.
How much is this going to cost, roughly?
It's going to cost you less than $100.
No, we're gonna buy two new horns and we're gonna install
them. Yeah, less than $100.
Well, that's less than my deductible for getting hit by another truck.
Yes, yeah. Buy the horns. You will be thrilled.
Thanks, guys.
With how loud
great
they are, and they will say, "Get the hell out of my way."
Right.
Good luck,
Dina.
So long, Dina.
Thanks
see you,
Geely.
Bye, Geely.
Bye.
Hey, Do you know what time it is?
Time for freshman orientation at our tow truck driver's charm school?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we hunt down a previous caller to see if the advice that we gave was really great.
Or just grating. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Jeff from Berkeley, California, by way of Australia. Do you remember Jeff? Neither do I.
Absolutely.
Well, I've got notes here. My notes say Jeff called us a while back because his 84 VW Vanagon was making an intermittent knocking sound from the rear end.
And the noise comes and goes, but it tends to go away completely the closer I get to any mechanic.
So. Does it the noise initiate when you start moving the car after it's been sitting, like, overnight? Is it more likely to happen then?
No. It can just come while I'm after I've been driving for 3 or 4 miles.
Jeff's going to be difficult. All right.
So does it ever happen when you first start off in the morning?
Only if it had been there when I stopped the night before.
This is sort of like I've Got a Secret.
Yeah.
You remember that show?
Yeah, we don't think Jeff's going to give us divulge any information. So what happened? Did we eventually manage to intuit a diagnosis?
We did, of course. We told him that both of his rear axles needed replacing.
Well, let's see how we did. Jeff, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Jeff, look, before we find out what went bad, your axles or our advice, we need to verify that we have not spoken since your last appearance in Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And the answer that you're about to give here on Stump to Chumps has not been influenced by our staff or by their lifetime supply of didgeridoos we sent you.
No.
So, Jeff, was it the axles?
It was the axles. You're right.
Yay! Well, I want to share with everyone.
Yes.
How we knew it was the axles.
Uh-huh.
Because there's nothing else back there.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you have them changed?
Yeah, a lovely guy called Dan Kachina at European Motors of Berkeley fixed both axles for me. And since then, my girlfriend and I have been on a months-long 6,000-mile trip around the Southwest camping in the van.
With this
no
thing?
No troubles at all.
Really?
Yeah.
6,000 miles and you never left Berkeley? Is that what you said? Hey, thanks for being on Stump the Chumps, Jeff.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Great.
See you later.
Bye.
Hey,
if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Why wait? Call us and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ro. I'm calling from Seattle.
What's your name? Wait, Ro as in like row, row, row your boat?
Yeah, pretty much. It's actually short for Rowena.
Oh, Ro.
It is row, row, row your boat. You are the third Rowena that I know in the world. One
really?
Was Ivanhoe's girlfriend. Isn't that right?
And you knew her because you were around then.
I was there then. Right. I was the third one in the triangle. And I know one other Rowena, and you're number three. It is not a very common name.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you know it.
And you're stuck with it. But that's all right. No, it's good actually to be stuck with an uncommon name.
Are you British?
No, but my mother is.
Ah.
That would explain it.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, Rowena.
You don't find any little Italian girls named Rowena. No.
No. Rosa, maybe.
Rosa. Rosawina. Yeah, so where'd you say you were from, Rowena?
Seattle,
yeah.
Anyway, what's up, Ro?
It's actually not my car, but it's my friend's car.
Of course.
And it's sort of an embarrassing problem, is that he lent me the car for 3 months because his job sent him out of the country.
Oh, I can see it coming now.
You burned his clutch out. What else did you do?
Well, and I mean, he knew what he was doing because he knew I'd never really driven stick much before.
You burned his clutch out!
Did you really?
No, actually, I didn't.
Oh.
But every time I'd start the car, I'd be really, like, I'd have to think everything through, and I'd put it into first, and I would, you know, be thinking about it. And I would be spending all this time thinking about my feet that I always forgot to take off the parking brake.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And I usually wouldn't realize this until I'd driven around all day long.
Oh,
and
it must work
somewhere.
Really well, then.
And, you know, and I would, like, park and try and put it on, and it would already be on.
You say, whoops.
And you didn't notice as you were driving around?
Well, I would notice, but I always thought that it was just because I wasn't very good at,
yeah.
You know, like,
and you said,
it seemed to take a lot of gas to get the car going,
yeah,
you know?
This car's got no power.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is, did I ruin his parking brake?
No, forget that. More importantly, did you tell him about this?
Well, no. First, if it doesn't affect the car at
then
all...
Then you're not going to tell him.
Right. Then, well, of course, now he's going to hear it on the radio, but...
Well, no. He's only going to doesn't hear it now. He's never going to hear it.
Yeah, when's he coming back?
Well, he actually came back a couple days ago, and he got the car back, and I didn't mention it yet.
You didn't,
did not mention it yet.
And, of course, he doesn't know that you're making this call.
No, but no. I think I'm going to have to tell him. I think
you don't have to.
You don't have to tell him at all. I don't think you have to tell him.
Well, should I tell him to go in and get his parking brake fixed? Or
here's what you do. You tell him you had a dream. Yeah, look, I had a dream that you lost your regular brakes, and you were flying down this hill at high speed, and you went to apply the parking brake as an emergency brake, and it didn't work, and you crashed. And I don't know what this dream means, but I think you ought to go and have the emergency brake looked at. Mm. How does that sound?
Well, it's good, except the timing is bad. I mean, she just gives him back the car 2 days ago.
Well, you have to take your chances for a week or so. Don't say anything for a week or two.
Okay.
The truth is that...
And then do the dream thing.
He's never going to notice this. I mean, between you and us, Ro.
Right.
I mean, he's never going to notice.
Right.
And I thought his regular brakes seemed to work fine, so...
Yeah.
I mean,
how many times did you do it?
Every
time?
No, but a lot. More than I'd like to admit.
Did you notice an accompanying aroma when you drove the car, a slightly offensive burning smell?
No. Well, that was only in the very beginning when I was, Seattle's pretty hilly, and when I was trying to learn how to drive stick uphill
when you were burning the clutch out. You smelled the smell. But you didn't smell
the
smell.
That only happened once in the very beginning, but I never heard, there's never another smell after that.
Well, the way I look at it is this.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
I mean, he obviously took his chances when he lent you the car.
Right, it's a 1980 car,
Oh, it's a heap.
Oh, yeah, when you put it in that light.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? It was going to be a Datsun or something, right?
Where was he for these 3 months?
He was in Australia.
On some kind of a junket?
It's a work thing.
Oh, yeah, work, sure. Yeah, he was living it up like Don King. He leaves his old jalopy with you, hoping it'll break down, and you will feel responsible for whatever happens to it and fix it.
How close a friend is he? I mean, are we romantically involved here?
No, it's just a friendship thing.
It's just a friendship thing. How much do you value this friendship?
Well,
things are all important.
Well, there's another issue here, which is that his dad's going to send him to Australia again. And I don't have a car, so...
Oh, you want the car?
Right.
Well, here's what you do. You say, if you want me to drive that car for you again...
Fix the e-brake.
Either fix the emergency brake or I'm not gonna drive it.
I think that's
Did you ever actually have to use the handbrake on a hill?
No. Yeah.
And it worked,
And
right?
It worked?
Yeah.
The truth is that you didn't do any damage to the handbrake.
Right.
If you did any damage at all, it was to the actual brakes. The foot brakes.
How would I damage the foot brakes?
Well, they're one and the same.
Oh.
What kind of a car is this?
It's a Honda Civic, 1980.
Yeah, the emergency brake operates the rear brake shoes, which are operated hydraulically when you step on the brake, but by a cable when you pull on the handle.
And if you drive with the handbrake sort of on, and it had to have been just sort of on, otherwise you wouldn't have moved. I mean, if it weren't, the idea is that it's supposed to keep you from moving.
Right.
So it wasn't really working very well, which means you didn't have it pulled up all the way. Which means that you probably glazed the brake shoes.
Well, actually, on light cars like Honda Civics, you could actually lock up the wheels and drag the tires along.
Maybe you did that.
And wear flat spots on the tires. You wouldn't even know it.
You may have done that. So you probably just, all you did really was you wore out the real brakes, which in fact is not good because if they really are glazed badly, it means they don't stop as well.
Right.
Which means I have to retract my earlier piece of advice, and I think you should tell them.
Okay.
Just tell them, I think there's something wrong with your brakes. You don't have to tell him the whole story. Because I can gather that this is not a very dear friend. And if he had an accident and got offed, who cares?
Yeah.
You should tell him, I think you should check your brakes. And if someone does check the brakes and finds out that they're terribly glazed, he'll need new brakes.
Yeah, I think you should lay all the blame on him.
$50.
Him that you were terribly perturbed that you had to drive this car for 3 months with malfunctioning brakes.
Yeah.
And if he wants you to drive it again when he leaves, then he should have it checked out and fixed.
Yeah.
Good luck, Ro.
All right, thank you.
See ya.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. It's giving that sound advice every week.
Truthfulness is, I mean, honesty.
Truth, it's overrated. Okay, Tommy, it's time for a few words from our local stations.
And what might those words be?
How about mid-season replacement? How does that sound?
That's what I was afraid of. We're going to be right back, maybe.
Now I've got to fix my van. Do the best I can. With a rusty box of tools I stole from school. Now I got to get it done so I can have some fun riding.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Aw, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and whatever it is.
Remember I made a statement one time, I forgot now the exact words, it's going to cost you $200, no matter what it is. It's going to cost you $200 if that's what it is.
I have that very motto hung up at the garage.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Well, dear Tom, this is from R.R. Miller from Woodland Hills, California. Dear Tom and Ray, since I don't presently have a life, I listen to your program often. But when I do get my own life, you can bet that I will look for other stations to tune to during the time your program is on. In the meantime, however, I do feel you can improve your program further, as discussed below. I refer to your statement that one may have to pay $200 to fix whatever it is that is wrong with the car, if that's what it is. But that is not the real problem, in my view. The real problem that concerns many of us is to have to pay to fix the problem if that is not what it is.
Yes.
As this can be an even more significant cost factor. For example, to fix a rattling muffler may cost $200 if that's what it is. But if that is not what it is, and it is, in fact, a rattling camshaft, it could cost 10 times as much. You seem to ignore this important case. Therefore, can you please add your experience to this equation and expand your phrase to cover the complete case of fixing it, whether that is what it is or that is not? This would be a significant improvement in our understanding of car repair costs. Sincerely, R.R. Miller.
R.R. Miller. R.R. Miller has nothing to do with his time. Anyway, for those of you who are missing the puzzle right about now.
That wouldn't be me.
Oh, I know that.
Actually, that's not true. I mean, I do enjoy the puzzler. If only to watch you squirm when the hate mail starts flying.
Well, look, the puzzler will be back in a few weeks. In the meantime, you can check out this week's archival puzzler on the website. Or if you have a car question, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sid, and I'm from Lantana, Florida.
Lantana.
That's the home of the Enquirer, the National Enquirer.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
Yes, they've been here for many, many years.
Yeah. Do you work for the National Enquirer?
No, I happen to be for a photographer, but no, I do not work for them.
No.
I had a couple of questions I was going to ask you, but never mind. Those alien pictures.
funny you should ask.
I mean, never mind. What's on your mind, Sid?
Well, I have a 1989 Nissan Maxima.
Yeah.
And it's got 176,000 miles on it. Runs like a dream.
Good.
The only thing I do have is a strange phenomenon, which nobody seems to understand or know what it is. And that is, I will make a left turn or a right turn, and sometimes I will hear a sound like it's rubbing on the old-fashioned fender. You know, the fenders they used to have.
You, like you hear the tire rubbing on the fender.
Exactly. Well, that's what it sounds like, but that's not the case. And it works both ways, left or right.
And do you have to be sort of in the locked steering wheel position for it to happen?
No, I thought that might be the case, but no, that is not.
So it could be a relatively mild turn and you would still hear the noise?
Well, no, that's not true. It would have to be closer to a sharper turn, yes.
Right,
okay,
right.
Okay, I like that. That's a good answer.
When did you buy the new tires, Sid?
That's funny you should ask, but I...
Funny he should ask.
Because
calculated.
Sid, I'm sure you don't appreciate this, but every move we make... I mean, you think this is a lot of guesswork and dart throwing. I mean, every move we make
every subtle little comment has meaning.
I mean, those guys that built the A-bombs in Alamogordo, they had nothing
on
us.
Before you go too far, if he says, I never bought new tires, I got the original tires on the car. I have a 79,000
miles. Don't worry.
You got a fallback position.
Go ahead, Sid.
I did buy the new tires about maybe 3 to 4 months ago, but let me preface this by saying this sound has been with me for well over a year.
We can't hear you, Sid. We must have a bad connection.
I'll have to cut
Can you
off.
Speak up? You'll
if
have
you
to call back
window,
next week.
I'll send you smoke signals.
All right, what was your fallback position? You didn't have one, did you?
Fallback. But you got to bluff him, man. You got to bluff him.
You didn't have a fallback position.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, we're taking your word for it that it is a tire just because you said it sounds like a tire rubbing against a fender.
Right. And it may be that, in fact, the tire is rubbing on the inner fender. If you look under there, you'll see that there's a plastic fender liner on both sides.
Yeah, when you said it's not that, how do you know it's not that?
Well, no, I don't really know that. However, I did have it checked out by a couple of mechanics, and they both said that they could see nothing wrong with the front end if that was the case.
And did you ask them to check for evidence of scuffing? You know, sometimes you'll see that plastic fender liner has been scuffed by the tire.
No, I did not, but I will do that.
You might be able to do that, and you might find out. What often happens is you go to buy tires, and you say, look, I need P235 75R14s. And they say, oh, as luck would have it, we don't have those. But we don't have your size.
But we can give you 250s because they're the same price.
Right. We'll give you the wider ones, and you'll have a better ride. They'll last longer. Your hair will start to grow. All kinds of things like that.
And you'll lose a lot of weight.
And they're the same money. And everyone likes a deal. So you say, I'll take them. And then you get problems like this. So it's possible the tires you bought are a little bit wider or have a different aspect ratio from your old ones. And either of those things could make the tires rub on the inner fenders.
Okay. That sounds like a definite possibility.
Yeah, I think that's it. And the fact that I don't have a fallback position means that's got to be the right answer.
It's just one of those things where I shouldn't call you, you'll call me.
Good luck, Sid.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Bye. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Terry Weaver, and I'm calling from Indian Head, Maryland.
Hi, Terry. Indian Head.
Indian Head, that's two words.
Indian Head where?
Maryland.
Yeah. Maryland.
It's south of D.C.
Oh, good. So what's up?
I'm hoping you can salvage my relationship with my 16-year-old son.
Oh.
Doubt it.
I doubt it. If I could do that, I would attempt to salvage my relationship with my 18-year-old son.
Well, maybe you had the same problem with him.
Maybe. Go ahead.
My son got his license 7 months ago.
Oh, brother. Here we go.
And he got his a job at the same time.
Yeah.
And every paycheck he's gotten has given him a little bit more cash, and he's found a lot of perfect cars.
Yeah.
The trouble is, they're not perfect in my book.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be the 60s vintage muscle cars.
Yeah, he wants like a 68 Mustang or something like that.
Well, he's a Chevy guy, so make it a Camaro.
Oh, 68 Camaro.
Yes. Mm. And usually, if you can find a Chevy Camaro for under $2,000, you probably don't want it.
That's probably true.
And he wants these cars, and I'm saying, well, gee, here's this really nice Cavalier from, you know, early 90s. And
Terry, come on.
Well, help.
Cavalier, what help? There's no help to be had here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always quick to give advice here, and I shouldn't be giving any advice because I have been a dismal failure in raising my son. Because all the things that I suggest to people, first of all, are not things that I've done because I haven't thought of them at the right moment, or I haven't had the
these are things he wished he'd have done.
Well, this is perfect timing for me now.
Well, it is. I mean, I suppose you can gain from all my mistakes, but I don't know how to deal with the emotional aspects here. No one ever taught me. I have no idea what's going on in his head. But I do know that there are certain things like muscle cars that a 16-year-old kid should not be driving around in. That's all I know. And that's all I know. But how do you get him to understand that? Don't ask me. Ask my brother.
Is there some kind of car that's not quite a muscle car, but not a Cavalier?
Yeah. An 86 Volvo.
Ooh.
That sounds really exciting.
But I don't think it's going to sell.
Well, The first thought that came to me is sometimes people make bad decisions based on lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and he finds these 1967 Camaros somewhere, and they look great, and all he can think about is driving it around and how he's going to look behind the wheel and how it's going to sound.
Yes.
But he doesn't think of the $7,000 of repairs that the car needs. So it would be nice if you could somehow get him to learn about that.
Any concept on how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, let him actually go to the step of making an offer on a car, but insist that he has it checked out by a mechanic first.
The only thing you can possibly hope for is that you can somehow make him understand that the girls that he thinks are going to be jumping into this car with him are not going to be. Girls are not turned on by these cars.
He doesn't think I was ever 16, so I don't know.
Yeah.
This.
See,
well, he's not going to take your word for it because you were never 16.
That's right.
But he might take the word of some 16-year-old girls.
Yeah. I mean, most 16-year-old boys do think that the cars that appeal to them are cars that appeal to 16-year-old girls. And boy, they're so wrong about that. And that's the only thing that I think has power. The only logic that might work.
So I can conduct a survey of his friends.
If you did that among 16-year-old girls and gave them a list of cars that impressed them, I think what you would find is that none of the cars impressed them because they're not interested in cars. They're not.
I wasn't.
No. And they will never even notice. He could spend the money on cosmetic surgery much better. So
Right. Tell
him whatever parts of his anatomy he thinks need some help. Spend the $2,000, he'll get a nose job,
buy
a rug, you know, whatever. if he doesn't have too much hair.
Well, I think girls might be more attracted to the unusual car. For example, I mean, all the kids at his age are going to run out and try to get themselves an old Mustang or Firebird or Camaro, whatever. He should show up with a Rambler.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
And they'll say, what's that?
That's a tank.
That's a tank.
There you go. He needs a nice, you know what he needs? A Matador.
A Matador.
Oh, man.
Yeah, remember those?
I vaguely can picture those.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think there are any around, but if you could find one, that's the car for him. Like a nice 74 Matador.
Yeah.
And he can paint it in like a really outrageous color.
Exactly.
Sure.
I think that gives me at least a car I can come back with.
Good luck, Terry. And you're going to need it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, wait a minute. You look who's here. All right.
Terry,
don't go away.
We lost Terry.
No, I'm here.
Oh, she's here. We have here in the studio, just by a stroke of luck, my 18-year-old son, Alex. All right, here's the deal, Alex. Her son, who's just 16 and got his license, he wants to buy a 60s muscle car.
All right.
You know, like...
Shut up.
Like a Camaro or something, and she thinks that it's going to be a death trap and it's going to keep falling apart. And she wants to know, what should she do? How does she talk him out of it? Because she figures...
How does she talk him out of it?
Oh, dear.
You're asking the wrong person.
Help me, Alex.
What we told her was that cars like that don't appeal to 16-year-old girls, even though her son probably thinks that they do.
And in fact, he should go for something cool looking. I mean, something unusual, something that nobody else has.
Like an AMC Matador.
And what are your thoughts on this?
What does Alex's face look like right now?
He's laughing. He thinks we're nuts.
Yeah, they are nuts. I would go for the muscle car.
Okay, so, next idea.
When you've asked girls to get into your car, didn't you find you had a lot more luck when you were driving that old Volvo jalopy? I mean, because it was... Each fender was a different color, and it was a kind of a funky car. And if you were driving a brand new car,
girls liked the Volvo. Actually, they didn't like it. They didn't like it when it had hubcaps and it was all one color. But after that, they liked it. So.
But as the pieces started to fall off, it began to take on a certain interesting character.
Yeah, but muscle cars have character too.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
All right, well, that's been very nice having you, Alex.
You're no help.
I'm sorry.
Come on, she's trying to save the kid's life because she knows it's going to be a death trap.
Well, so, I mean, I can't discourage the muscle car because there's a special fraternity of teenagers, and I can't violate that by encouraging, by telling you how to convince them not to do it, so I'm sorry.
See, there's nothing that we're going to be able to say except that while he's only 16 or 17, then you have the power to just ground him.
Yeah.
But as my son has recently turned 18, He's moving out of the house. He's buying a new car of his own.
What are you buying?
He's going to buy a brand new BMW Z3. And he's moving into a penthouse apartment in downtown Boston. And he's asked me to lend him $100,000.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Terry, this is the hardest thing. No, when you saw that little kid in the hospital and he weighed 8 pounds, 6 ounces, and you picked him up and you held him to your bosom, did you ever expect it would come to this?
No.
And how come no one told us about this?
Because if they did, you wouldn't have taken
have
a serious step.
I got to get this one right because he's got a brother coming on 2 years behind him.
Oh, yeah. See, my son, who's just gotten his license, my Andrew.
Who, by the way, hates my son because he figures that Alex has ruined it for him.
He says, I know I'll never drive because Alex and all my friends have ruined it because I've smashed up so many cars and done so much property damage that I know I'm never going to get behind the wheel. I'm throwing my license away.
Yeah, well, Terry, if you find out anything interesting, let me know.
I'll keep you posted.
Because I feel like a fish out of water here. I have no idea what to do.
Well, I'm glad to find I'm not the only one that's floundering around.
Oh, man. Floundering around. I like it.
See you, Terry.
Thanks for calling, Terry. Thanks Alex.
A lot.
All right, get out of here. Go back to work.
What is this fraternity he's talking about?
Yeah, that's what we don't know. Is the show over? Well, it's happened again. You've evaporated another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton-Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Sanibel, Tagliatelle, Taco Bell, Raw Chanterelle, Mortadelle, and Creme Caramel Supper Bell, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our defense attorney is Hieronymus B. Blind. The head of our organ donation program is Olivia McCollin. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Brooks Brothers wearing bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And if you think about it, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1335, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the complete guide to driving a car with a stick shift.
Yeah, I mean, fewer and fewer cars have stick shifts these days, but it's a good thing to know how to do.
Right. I mean, what if you're in a situation where the only car available happens to have a manual transmission?
Yeah, and your getaway driver just locked himself in the vault.
It'd be good to know how to drive one of them now, wouldn't it?
You betcha. So check out Car Talk's complete guide to driving a stick.
You'll find it all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR doorman mutters something about the doorknob and the way out every time he hears us say it, this is NPR.